What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford. I have the privilege of being your host, and as you have learned recently, one of the fellows at the Fortis Institute, and I am very excited about this new initiative. As you look through the different fellows, first of all, these are no chumps. Like, I am the chump of the group of new fellows. We have ethics experts. We have church history experts. We have those that have published many, many resources and books, and so I'm very humbled to be a part of this team. So this is the future, everybody. The celebrity pastor, let's phase that out. We don't want a celebrity pastor. Let's look to trusted organizations with the plurality of wisdom. And I think some of that can even be accredited to churches that should be elder-led and or elder-ruled. So this is Fortis, and Transformed is part of Fortis now. Today, I think I'm going to try to include rhythms for you to remember certain principles. A couple of weeks ago, I did conflict resolution, and today I want to talk about listening to understand, a concept that I've brought up in the past. You may remember back to the four rules of communication. We talked about listening. When we're listening, I've said this and will continue to say this, and hopefully will implant this within your long-term memory, that listening is the most important relational skill. That's a pretty significant statement. That means that conflict resolution, understanding roles, actually speaking, all of those are important, but what is the most fundamental relationship skill? If you're missing this, you'll destroy your relationship with the Lord and with others. That is listening. Let me read to you a proverb. It comes from Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Think of how powerful your communication is. You can build someone up or you can tear someone down. That's edification, Ephesians 4:29, that you speak to build up. But have you ever thought about your listening as part of your communication skills that promote encouragement and building other people up or tear them down? What do we mean by being torn down? Have you ever had someone talk over you, misunderstand you, minimize what you said? In that moment, what you've experienced is someone who's tore you down through their poor communication and poor listening skills. James 1:19 says, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. So I just want to make sure that you remember this isn't a skill that you have or you do not have. This isn't a gift that you have or do not have. This is something that we can all cultivate. So don't think of listening skills like you do your height. You know, I don't control it. The Lord made me this tall. Don't think of listening skills that way. Think of something that you grow in. That's why it's a skill. So it's not this innate skill. Some of us are not great listeners. We don't take interest in what you say. We don't know how to ask good questions. We don't ask open-ended questions. We don't ask follow-up questions. So listening for us is really a challenge, but we know the importance of listening. I want to actually frame listening as being important, first of all, because God listens to us. Consider this. I'm going to read for you Psalm 116. Consider this. God is omniscient. He knows everything. If you haven't listened to Dr. Kraut's podcast yet, Integrated, go over there and check it out. He offers great theological tidbits. I was just listening to his episode on providence last night. Consider what Psalm 116 says about God. I love Yahweh because He hears my voice and my supplications. God is omniscient. God doesn't have to verbally hear you to know something. Psalm 139 says that He knows the words that you're going to say before they're on your lips. So this isn't about God waiting to figure out what you're going to say so He can process that and then understand. But God listens and condescends to us. He inclines His ear to us, the ESV says. Why do you listen well to others? Well, in part because God listens to you. This is language that speaks to God having an ear and inclining it. But we know that God doesn't have ears. God is spirit, John 4 tells us. So what's the takeaway here? What is it that the psalmist is saying? I love Yahweh because he listens. He hears me. Do you hear people? Do you listen to them? Or do you minimize them? Internally, as they're saying something, do you see yourself as better? Do you exalt yourself? Do you see them as not having as much information as you do, so you're dismissive for whatever reason that is? That is not what God does. God is omniscient and still listens. God is omniscient and still inclines his ear to you. Why do you listen first and foremost? As a means of glorifying God by imitating him. Remember the Ephesians 5:1 model that we're imitating the Lord as beloved children, Paul says. So when you're listening, I want you to focus on understanding, really drive at meaning. Try to comprehend and grasp. So in your listening, what are you driving for? Well, there is an inner attorney in all of us that is going to debate you. And what we're going to do is we're going to say, technically, I didn't say that, or you're misrepresenting my argument. No, I did not use those words. That's the inner attorney and lawyer in us. But when we're actually trying to be Christ-like, we're driving at meaning. So some of you are really quick on your feet when it comes to thinking and argumentation and debate. You're a rock star, like you would win that every day. And you can get other people to kind of stumble over themselves. They don't think as sharply and quickly as you do. Be careful of that, because that's going to be a liability to you in your listening. Be careful. Pause. Seek to understand what another person is getting at, even if they're not being very articulate. Because we are driving at meaning. We are not driving at the exact words that you say. If you're holding a person hostage with the exact words that they say, are you ready for it? Are you ready? Are you listening? Ooh, you're being a bad listener. You're trying to pickpocket them. This is what you said. Oof, oof, as we're now punching them in the side. Drive at meaning, not at exact words. Consider that James 3, verse 13 and following, talks about wisdom from above and wisdom from below. Wisdom from above is actually marked with being reasonable, that you're a person who is open to hearing the truth and you yield to it. So that James 3 passage, what it does is it informs, what type of wisdom am I demonstrating in my listening? Is it earthly wisdom? It's divisive. I show selfish ambition. I lie against the truth. Or is it wisdom that's from above? It's pure, peaceable, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruits. What type of wisdom are you demonstrating? Are you driving at understanding? Or are you being a person that is selfish and pushing your own agenda? So what does it practically mean to understand? Have you thought this through? What does it practically mean? We understand what you're trying to say. We do this really well with our kids. Often we're very patient listeners, especially when they're young and they're not speaking in full sentences. We're trying to understand what you're trying to say. We're driving at what you're attempting to say. I'm not pinpointing you at the exact words. So we understand what you're trying to say, and then we understand what you are saying. So if you understand what a person is saying, that does not mean that you agree with them. You have to clarify and say, is this what you're trying to say? And when they say, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Ah, I now understand. I get it. I didn't say that I agree with your conclusions. I said that I understand what you're suggesting. So even if that person is not articulate, or they're not putting their words together in this exact moment in an extremely helpful way, we understand what they're trying to say, and then we understand what they are saying. And internally in counseling, I've noticed this a couple of times, where people believe that understanding means I agree with you. So if I don't push back on your comment, I don't critique it, I don't counter-argue my point, then in some way I am agreeing with you. That's not the same thing. There are many things that you understand, but you do not agree with them. So your conversational skill drive at understanding, not understanding equals agreement. The better you get at understanding, you'll find that a person may be articulate or may not be articulate, maybe using words like never and always, maybe are saying things in very abrasive ways. But the more you drive at meaning, the better of a listener and communicator you will then be. The more you assume what a person is saying, the more that you argue over the exact words, the more that you are sensitive when a person says something and you never clarify, they say it, you take it the wrong way, then that actually hurts you and you will be a worse listener and communicator for it. So when we come back after our break, I want to bring up a couple of results of being a bad listener. You'll be surprised at some of them. So let's take a break. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. You know, as we're talking about listening and communication, it reminded me of this excellent resource that we have available in the Fortis store. It's by Paul David Tripp. It's called War of Words, Getting to the Heart of Your Communication Struggles. And it's really eye-opening about how our words and our listening habits affect everybody around us. Paul David Tripp's War of Words, available now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking about thinking biblically, I wonder if you've heard about the Masters University's recent achievements. They were just ranked number 6 nationwide for career preparation. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, and that is really big news. And with academic scholarships over $20,000 per year available, there's really never been a better time to check out TMU. You can find out more at masters.edu/transformed. And hey, while we're on the subject of biblical resources, let me also remind you about Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling by Bob Kelman and Stephen Byers. If you've been thinking about entering the field of biblical counseling, well, I highly recommend you starting right there. Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling, you can find it at fortisinstitute.org. And it's exactly the kind of solid biblical content we're committed to here at Fortis Institute. And speaking of Fortis, I don't know if you've downloaded the Fortis Plus app just yet, but you're going to probably be one of the very few who has it. It's completely free, won't cost you anything, and you get hundreds of hours of audio and video content absolutely free, plus 7 new pieces of content added daily. Our fellows director Jason has a brand new director's cut loaded every single day, covering things that are affecting our culture right now. And if you want to stay even more connected, you can become a Fortis Insider, also free. You'll get exclusive access to the daily content because we're going to send you an email to remind you about it every single day. Plus, you're going to be the first to know about special deals and sales in the Fortis store as well by becoming a Fortis Insider. You can do both. You can access the Fortis Plus app, download it to your mobile device, and you can sign up to become a Fortis Insider right now at fortisinstitute.org. And you know what makes all this possible? Go ahead and guess. That's right, you do, our gospel partners. If you would like to partner with us in this ministry and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be forever grateful for you considering. And you can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to the rest of our discussion on listening with Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. It is good to have Jimmy's service. He's doing a news report as well. If you guys haven't seen this in the Fortis Plus app, it's excellent. I listened to it yesterday and it gives me enough. You know, sometimes with the news, I feel like there's a saturation level that you get to. So I try to guard having news on or different news apps available to me. So it's really helpful to hear Jimmy's interaction with current events and a thoughtful biblical engagement. So we are talking about listening. Listening, conflict resolution, communication skills, these are things that you and I should be reminded of either twice a year, 3 times a year, but on a regular basis, we should be reminded of good conflict resolution and good listening communication skills. That's what I'm attempting to do today for you. Remind you of what it means to listen. So remember in the scripture that we're to be quick to listen. I'd like you to grab your Bible and open up to the James 1 passage. Quick to listen, slow to speak. There's 1,000 different parenting principles in here. You as a parent are learning to not just walk in and to immediately address a situation, but you're assessing what happened, asking good questions before you make a decision. At work, an employee is going to do something that just seems straight up wacky. And instead of a knee-jerk reaction, you're going to ask what was going on and clarify what they were attempting to accomplish. I'll never forget, I appreciated my colonel when he did this. We were in Washington, D.C., and we were going to visit some of those three-letter agencies. I was the driver, I was his XO, and he was the G2 at that time, so the intel guy. And I'm at a red light, and I just took a right turn. That was illegal. I took a right turn at the red light and then added another 5 minutes to our commute. And instead of yelling at me, which I probably deserved, no, I did deserve it. He just said, "Do you normally take a right turn at a red light?" "No, sir, I don't." "Well, how come you took a right turn back there?" "Well, I thought this was actually the way to go and I was previously on the wrong path." And so instead of verbally tongue lashing me, he asked some good questions, and even his questions were seeking to understand and even a mild rebuke. So I appreciated that. He was quick to listen in that and slow to speak. That principle comes directly from the scripture, something that we need to be reminded of. Verse 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and gentleness, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Couple of things to note here. First of all, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Our own natural anger is not honoring to the Lord. In fact, you know that your anger most of the time is sinful. We could talk about the reason you got angry, and maybe you got angry for the right reason, but by and large, your anger is sinful. The anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. But look at the progression here. The progression is quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So if I am slow to hear, quick to speak, I'll be quick to anger. You know that, right? The people that are the worst listeners are the most angry people. They're unreasonable. We cannot reason with them. They talk over us. They interrupt us. They do not want to hear our perspective. They do not attempt to understand. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. What is the result of being a bad listener? You're going to be more angry. What? I talked about this in the episode on anger as well. You're going to be a more angry person. So reverse diagnose yourself right now. This might be like the Spider-Man moment as you're staring at your hand. Are you an angry person? If you are, I would guess you're a bad listener as well. Internally, you dismiss people, you talk over them. You think something like this: "Yeah, they're an idiot. There they go again. I don't know what they're talking about." Well, internally, what you're doing is you're being dismissive, and that's going to lead you to be a frustrated, angry person. And how did that happen? You're just a bad listener, and you don't drive at understanding what's going on. Work on your listening and you will have less of a temptation towards anger. So if you would like, turn to Proverbs 19. Consider what Proverbs 19 says. "A man's insights makes him slow to anger, and it's his honor to overlook a transgression." A man's insights, a man of understanding. Grow in understanding and you will be a person who grows in having a longer fuse. Less things upset you. I've said this before. I think that what happens when you grow in understanding is not that the world gets less sinful. "Ah, yes, the rebelliousness of my children's heart is all solved now because I'm a good listener." It's not that traffic gets less painful, but what happens is you just understand more. And the more understanding you are, the less of a temptation toward anger. So ignorance, which comes from a lack of understanding, ignorance breeds angry people. I don't want to be an ignorant person because I don't want to be angry and dishonor the Lord. There are things I would just frankly love to not know about and be ignorant in certain ways, but as an overall person, we're called to be understanding. How do you grow in understanding? How do you do that? Well, we could say you get educated, you read your scripture. How do you do that? You listen, and that's how you grow in understanding. So what are some practical strategies to help you grow in your listening skills? The first one I would give you is think of your time of possession when you're communicating. You guys know in football, the stats are partly tracked by who had the ball and for how long. Now, technically, you could just have the ball for 1 minute, go score, and still win the game. But generally, whoever has the ball longer, they show that there is a dominance. When you are talking too much, when the time of possession and communication is you've been talking for 5 minutes and the other person has talked for 1 minute, I want you to back off and say, I'm oversharing, I'm over talking, I'm dominating this conversation. That's something I don't want to do. I need to pause and I need to ask questions about them. So a student, when they come to me, I'll catch myself. They'll say, Dr. Gifford, how was your weekend? And then I'll start sharing my weekend. And if I'm not careful, that can be the end of the conversation. And I have to cognitively say, ask them about their weekend, in which I then should say, and how was your weekend? What did you do this weekend? That's this time of possession principle that I don't want to dominate conversations. You don't want to dominate conversations. So we're going to ask questions of you. And if you assessed our conversation as a whole, we equally shared, we equally spoke, we equally talked. So be intentional not to have greater than 50% of time of possession in your communication. We're not going to be that person that crashes a conversation, talks the whole time, and then says, well, gotta go, slaps our smartwatch and walks off. That's not going to be us. We're going to be good listeners. Second principle to help make you better at this is to wait until that person is finished before you speak. Even if you ask a question like, was that all? Are you done? That question I don't use regularly unless I'm struggling to know if a person's still thinking or they've stopped in the middle of a sentence and I just wonder, is that all? Are you finished? Was there something else you wanted to say? But we're going to make a habit of not interrupting people. In our normal everyday conversations, a dominant way that we are listening is that we are waiting for a person to be done and we are doing our best to wait until they have acknowledged they're done. So that's hard when you get engaged in conversation with Mr. or Mrs. Chatty. You know that person that it's basically like the equivalent of turning the radio on? That's what conversation with them looks like. Question today in news. That is hard because they don't stop talking and you have to graciously excuse yourself from the conversation. But by and large, we're not going to interrupt people. We're not going to talk over them. We're not going to assume we know what they're about to say and finish their sentence for them. We are waiting until they are finished to talk. And when they are done, then we engage. So here's something that I have to do, and I'm sure you have your own equivalent of it as well. Focus on what they're saying while they are speaking. Demonstrate that you're listening. So when I'm doing that, I'm focusing on, hey, this is what you're saying. This is what you're talking about. I'm not looking at my phone, looking at my watch. I'm not staring off into the sunset. I'm engaged. I'm looking at you. I want to get it. And there are times when you cannot be a good listener. So remember the principle that I would give you. Announce when you cannot be a good listener. So let's say that you're in the middle of putting the groceries away. One of your kids walks in and is like, hey, dad, hey, mom, I got to tell you what happened at school today. And your hands are full, you're sweaty, you're kind of frustrated with the groceries. In that moment, you might announce, hey, honey, right now I cannot be a great listener. Can I put the groceries away first and then I can give you my full attention? Boom. You as a husband are thinking the same thing, that your wife comes in, starts to share something with you. So instead of being like, not now, honey, I'm putting this thing back together. You're going to say, hey, babe, I can't be a great listener right now. Can I finish this? And then I would love to hear what you have to say. Find your gracious way of announcing that you cannot be a good listener at that moment. And then when you're done with that task, go and engage that person that you just said you couldn't listen to. So that's hopefully a helpful and gracious way that will keep you focused while you're in conversation, and it will help protect people from feeling as if you are minimizing them or you don't want to listen to them. But in the end, listen to understand. So let me pray. Would you guys pray for Fortis? Would you pray for me in particular too, as we're just thinking about the future of Fortis and how we can continue to serve you all as a church? I'm convinced that the celebrity pastor days are over, that we're going to start to look to trusted institutions. And so let's pray that Fortis would be part of that trusted institution. Lord, we do thank you for the ability to listen to others in the way you listen to us. I feel like maybe I need this weekly. I need to write it on every post-it note that I have access to, that you listen to me and I should listen to others. Help us to be humble people that genuinely do value what other people say, and may that drive good listening. not just so that we could have better relationships, but so that we could honor you, that Jesus and us living for your son would be evident in the very practical things like how we listen. So help us to do that well. Lord, we do pray that you would bless this initiative with Fortis. Helped us to be something that strengthens the church, and it offers a level of accountability to those that are involved in this process and publications. So use our giftedness, use everything we have, our resources, use them all for your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.